Hey y'all, this is Bud Elliott with the Nullcast. This recap of the Jimbo Fisher press conference with audio is presented by Madison Social. Madison Social is the spot in Tallahassee for great food and great drink right there in the shadow of Doak Campbell Stadium. Cold beers and more than just your typical sports bar food. It's actually some really good pub grub. So make sure to check that out there. A lot of creative things, and we certainly appreciate the continued sponsorship of Matt and his group there that runs Madison Social and many other hot spots. The audio today is from the Seminoles feed, and it's made available to the media. I hope that this sounds as good on your device as it does on ours. If not, we'll have to look into some alternative methods for providing you the Jimbo Fisher press conference audio. The one thing I really wanted to focus on today, and I listened to Jimbo Fisher's press conference. It's about 30 minutes in length, and I watched it, and you know, when listening to Jimbo Fisher speak today, several things jumped out. First, he was clearly trying to introduce Florida State as a program to a broader audience because the Showtime cameras for the series A Season with Florida State are following around Florida State for the entire season. If you haven't heard about that, you can read all the details on TomHawkNation.com. Last year, they did Notre Dame. He was introducing the program and all of its exploits to a broader audience, in my opinion. Because there's going to be a lot of viewers out there watching this series who maybe don't know quite as much about Florida State as the average Florida State fan does. So press conferences this year, they might be a little more generic, in fact. I think that's certainly a possibility. But Fisher was playing up all Florida State's accomplishments and how much he loves his players, which he undoubtedly does. But he wanted to really reiterate that. Point number two that I noticed from this opening press conference is just contrasted to last year. Last year, Jimbo Fisher used some form of the word youth, young, learning, fundamentals, growing, teaching, etc. 20 times in his opening statement. Today, I don't think he said it once referencing this team, at least not in the opening statement, and not much throughout the rest of the press conference. Folks, this is a different message. About the season, the message Jimbo Fisher wanted to send this year was how tough this schedule is. It's a lot tougher than last year's. Florida State plays 5 ranked teams. That's something to listen for when you're going through this interview. But he knows this team is a lot more experienced than last year's. And while it only has, I think, 9 or 10 seniors on it, it does indeed have a lot of experience and several juniors who are probably not going to be around next year and should basically be treated as seniors in terms of eligibility purposes. The third thing I wanted to go over was the quick Derwin James update. Jimbo Fisher, as you know, Derwin James had a little foot procedure done that was several weeks ago. Jimbo Fisher said that today he was actually running on grass and cutting, and that if it was a game today, Derwin James believes he would play, and Fisher said he doesn't doubt him. Some of that might be coach speak. However, he said that he's going to be held out a week at most. So he could potentially be back in 4 or 5 days. I bet Florida State gives him the whole week. I bet he doesn't go in the first scrimmage. And I bet he's largely in a non-contact jersey for much of this fall because he is so valuable and arguably the most talented, the second most talented player on this roster. The final thing, though, which might be the most important, is about the quarterback competition. Fisher said a lot of things about the quarterback competition while not saying very much at the same time. He said he has no timetable for naming the starter and that the kids will decide that. He said it's a true competition. He said Sean McGuire is fully healthy along with Dalvin Cook and that he values a person who is going to make the right decisions and throw accurately over a big arm and playmaking ability, which is smart when you have Dalvin Cook and a very experienced offensive line. However, I'm not sure that player is necessarily on this roster. I think Florida State actually has two gunslinger types, with Francois being less experienced but probably having a higher upside. But he said something very important about DeAndre Francois. He said that great players don't make the same mistakes twice and that they learn from their mistakes. And specifically here, he said that Francois understands the whys and the why nots, as in why a play worked or why it didn't work, why a play needs to be run a certain way and not another way, why he made a mistake and needs to fix that mistake. And then he said he asks the right questions. That is a really Jimbo Fisher buzzword. And I'm going to take you back to the fall camp of 2008. And if you've been covering Florida State for as long as we have, you pick up on some of this stuff. That is the exact phrase he used about Christian Ponder when he was talking about when he got there and the quarterbacks in the room and who was asking the right questions, who was asking the questions that made Jimbo Fisher think, hey, I get this, or you know, maybe I don't get this quite so much so far. Ponder was the one asking the right questions. Ponder ended up starting in 2008 over Drew Weatherford, much to maybe the or over the objection of some others on the coaching staff back then. And it actually ended up working out pretty well in that year. I think Florida State ended up winning 9 ball games. So that to me jumped out. That is saying, if Fisher is being honest there, and I believe he is, sometimes he's prone to hyperbole, like saying a guy gained 30 pounds of muscle in the offseason. You know, probably not. But asking the right questions, that's something I can believe if the hype around DeAndre Francois is true and justified and is to be believed. So that's a key thing to watch right there. It actually does give me more confidence, just that statement alone, that Francois is ultimately going to win the job. I do believe it'll be a true battle, and I believe that if he goes out there and stinks it up, that McGuire will you know, hold on to the job. But that's an encouraging quote if you are someone who wants DeAndre Francois to win the job because you believe DeAndre Francois has more potential. So without further ado, here's the audio from Jimbo Fisher. Thanks, as always, for supporting the Noblecast. Please subscribe to us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, whatever on Google Play Music, whatever music service you use, we're probably on there. If we're not, hit us up at the at Noblecast on Twitter and tell us about it.
Great to be here. 7 year, time has flown. It really has, and we showed some videos last night when we first got here, when we first started, the vision we had for the program, where we wanted it to go, what position we wanted it to be in at this stage of our time here, and the things that we've evolved to, and still, as an organization and as, you know, and with our infrastructure, still have a long ways to go and things we have to get to be attainable and stay at the top. But I think that's the key to everything. But, you know, it makes you reflect on how far we've come. I mean, the 68 wins and championships and the conference championships and national championships, the draft picks. I mean, I'm very proud of the guys who have played here, not all the time here, but these last 6 years and the things they've evolved and what they've brought to this program to. During that time, second most wins in the country during that time. And I've been very successful and got great student athletes, got great kids, great players. They're having success here, they're having success off the field, they're having success in the classroom, they're having success in the NFL. That's what you want. And that's what we're happy and proud to be a big part of. But saying all that, it means nothing going forward. We're where we want to be. We're putting ourselves in a position to be successful and have a chance to be successful. We have to keep doing the little things that make us successful. But very excited about this team. Very excited about this season coming up. I thought we went through a tremendous, tremendous spring. Loved the summer with Vic and our guys said, and our, even our players, one of the best summers we've had, and you know, coaches always say that every year, but this has been a good summer. Now, what we got to do is translate that into the team in which it's evolving into, and be able to have the success and do the things we got to do and keep the process in place so we can do all the little things that make the big things attainable. And, but again, very happy, like the attitude where our guys are right now, the structure in which we have in place, like I say, with our team, our infrastructure of our team itself, with the Unity Council and the leadership, and you know, a lot of guys are really stepping up, taking on roles, and now I want to see it translate to the field. But we still have a lot of work to do. Still have a lot of questions. People say, "Well, who's starting here?" Well, there ain't no starters in play. Everything's open. You got to evaluate, and we have to do a great job in this camp of evaluating and educating, because you got to evaluate your players as you educate your players, because you know, a combine doesn't win a football game. And we're in a combine world. We worry about how high we jump, how far we, you know, how far we can throw it or whatever. And now we got to play football. You got great athletes, now you got to have football players. And then you got to educate within the situations of football. Third down, red zone, short yardage, coming off the goal line, 2 minutes before the half, 2 minutes at the end of the game. All, you know, playing on defense, trying to, you know, 4 minutes to run the clock out on offense, trying to get the ball back on defense, or trying to stall or or make him milk clock and not give up big play. I mean, all the things that go on in the situations of football. And, you know, that's one of the things that does have me excited, because I hear the conversation with guys, the questions they're asking. I like the questions they're asking. They make a lot of sense. You see a lot of guys that are thinking the game and understanding the game, that football is not just a size and speed game. It's a mental game. It's a psychological game. And it's, more importantly, it's a team game. And I like the dynamics of the things I'm hearing and seeing within our guys. But, again, we have to do a great job evaluating camp, educating in camp, and getting ready for a great opener and one heck of a schedule. I think we have the toughest schedules there is in the country. Our two major Power 5 conference teams from the SEC opening up and ending. In between, we've got a tremendous conference schedule, play the top two teams rated in the other side of the division, in Miami and North Carolina. Our great rivals from within our own side of the division, they're always extremely tough. A very tough team in South Florida, which was a great bowl team and won seven out of the last eight after they played us, I believe. And then a 1AA team, Charleston Southern, who went to the quarterfinals and had a great run and doing a great job. And we played them after a five-day layoff. So, you know, 5 days right after you play a game, which is extremely tough. And not only have a lot of preparation and how you got to do things. So we have a lot of challenges ahead of us. To say all that, I'm looking forward to it. I think that's what competitors do. Competitors like challenges. They like things that are up against, make things tough. And so far, I like it. Like the demeanor of this team. Hopefully we'll see when we start the practice field and see what we're going to do. But we know this. Everybody's going to be shooting at us. Everybody's going to be trying to measure it off of us. We have talent, but what we got to do is develop into a team now to play with great consistency. And like I say, the last few years, we've had some tremendous successes. Had the national championship a couple years ago. The last couple, we haven't been there, but been right on the verge. A block kick and a catch here and there with a Georgia Tech and Clemson converting 2 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, don't want over route. We're there too. That's how close you are there too. So, you know, very excited about where this team can go, but you got to go do it. That's what you got to fight. Well, we got to find out, are we going to fight for those inches? Just 6 or 8 inches from doing it again last year. So, you know, finishing off the season the right way, like we didn't do in the bowl game. So, but there's a lot of things we got to do. And, but again, same time, looking forward to that challenge, and I think this team is too. So we'll find out. But any questions?
You guys are playing at the start of the season. Just talk about evaluation. So how does that change your evaluation process and measuring outcomes?
It doesn't. I mean, who you play? I mean, you can't speed evaluations up. You can't speed a guy's development up. You can't make things go any faster. You have to give what they can do, what's there, and make your evaluations off of that. I mean, if you could hit a button and say, okay, we play, this team opened up so we can make it that much better, we would do that every year. I mean, there's nothing you can do in that regard. You have to let things and people develop as they develop. So we know we got a great challenge coming in. There's no doubt. Yes, a little bit. I think everybody. I think they. When you walk into Florida State, you understand what's at stake. You understand expectations. You understand pressure. And what you got to learn is pressure is a chance to be elite. And it's a chance to separate yourself. And you have to embrace that thing. And you don't worry about pressure. And you build the habits what you do daily, so you don't worry about the pressure and the results. But I think just like the 2013 team, I think one of the things that made it very good, that it hurt, it goes through hard times. What makes everybody who's successful, the hard lessons in life that you don't want to do again. And I think, you know, what you do about them and the situations you put in and how you handle them. So hopefully that those situations are there. Now, at the same time, see, you can't dwell on, everybody wants to dwell on the negative. What about all the positive? At the end of the day, there was still 13 wins the year before. There was still 10 wins again last year. You take from the positive and you learn from that just like you do the negative. If you only dwell on the negative, you never grow. Because you know what you do? That's what you work on, and you forget about the things you did well. There's a heck of a lot of things we've done well around here, too. So we'll get better at the things we've done poorly and keep repeating the things we've done well.
Usually you're looking forward. Why do you feel it's important to show that video of
kind of? I think history is the greatest teacher. I mean, it goes all the way back. I went all the way back to 87 in the 80s. I mean, history is a great teacher. How you can rise, how come out of nowhere to make the run in 87 forever, then had tough times going to 2000 and fought your way back. And put it up to a championship. And we haven't quite been to a championship. We've been fighting, you know, staying in that mold and staying relevant and winning championships. I think history is a tremendous teacher. I think it can teach you valuable lessons. It really does. And it's funny. We always say history always repeats itself. in a lot of ways. And all this ball that we, you know, just for instance, you talk about all this ball and all these guys are in this run pass option and quarterback runs. Guess what? That was old single wing football in 1950. You really go back and look at it when the quarterback ran and did all those things. I mean, it all comes in a cycle. You know what I mean? But I think it's very important to understand the seats that you're setting in, who set in before you, and what you're going to leave to the next group that sets in those seats. And as the incoming classes, your responsibility is to represent yourself as people, as students, and as players, and what that goes through. And we've had as much history as anybody, especially since that time. And you know, I thought it was very important for them to understand that and also learn from it.
Jimmy, you should know the position that no one wants, but when we
Oh, there's going to be a battle everywhere. There'll be a battle. Everybody will be put in situations, offensive lines, defensive lines, secondary jobs, linebackers, receivers. I mean, you see that, tight ends, the backs. I mean, you know, Dalvin's doing what he does, but those other guys behind him and how much they got to play, the things they've got to do, and these young guys. I'm anxious to see these, you know, every year there's a group of them that jump up and really make a significant difference, and others make a difference, and we're going to need every one of them. I'm kind of anxious all the way across, but there's going to be battles everywhere, there's no doubt. Competition from within is what makes great teams.
Jim, I have a journalism that,
Really good. I mean, he did, he was on the, they're doing him on graph day, the change of direction stuff, and he was on the Ultra G and putting the weight and changing direction, and according to him right now, he's ready to go. And I think he is, but we're going to make sure he heals the right way, and we'll do some other testing with it just to make sure he's back in, but he has healed extremely well. The boots off. He's, you know, he's back. He's running. He'll be running on grass. They don't change direction and do some of that. So he'll get back in pretty quick. And you know, at the longest, I would imagine holding him out 5, 6, 7 days. I mean, a week at the most. Well, we got plenty of time just to make sure it heals good. But I want to see. I would run him a little bit if it swells. It doesn't. But he hasn't had any. He's kind of like doubt. They heal. It's crazy how their body heals. Yes. Yes, he will. He's good. He's all good. He did all the work out this summer, everything.
You're a little bit banged up. How did Northwest Blake kind of pick it up a little bit? Do you hope that he improves from last year going to this year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Marquez, they play two different positions, but Marquez has always been a leader in our secondary. Very experienced. But you know, a good thing getting Trey Marshall back in that mix is going to be critical safety. Because Trey Marshall takes the football play. He's going to do a lot. But Marquez is always a leader. Marquez is just steady Eddie out there in the field. And do a lot of things, and what heck of a player we're expecting a good year. But those other stages going to give them some opportunities, some of those young guys early in camp, first couple of days. I'm
sorry.
Because there's a lot of experience around it. I think if you go back and research all of those young guys that have had a lot of experience, that have had a lot of success as young quarterbacks, the juniors and seniors, even though they haven't had time, I don't put them in the same boat you put as freshmen. I don't care what you say. That's totally different. But at the same time, I bet if you'll research, a lot of those guys have a lot of experience around them where there's not a lot of mistakes made because a quarterback's main thing, he can learn what to do in the base decision. But quarterbacks and young guys get in trouble is when the guys around them don't execute. And all of a sudden, when you got the ball in your hand, you're like the eraser on a pencil. Whatever happens, the fan base, the media, coaches, what do we all say? Fix it. You got to make it right. They'll throw it away. Why don't you throw it away? Why don't you hit that, get rid of it quicker? Why don't you scramble and run? Well, stand back there and do that when you have a lot of experience. And I think if you'll research that, the thing I'm excited about, the guys, there's a lot of experience around these guys saying that, but hopefully there won't be a lot of mistakes. And they'll do the things they do, which will allow them to settle in and play with consistency. And then when you gain that confidence as you go, then you gradually, you're able to fix other people's problems. You know what I'm saying? You're able to do that. But I think that's very critical. Anytime you have a new starting quarterback, the amount of experience around him to make that job and that transition much easier. Because the hardest thing for a quarterback is to manage not what you do, because somebody else does something wrong. But quarterbacks get all the glory and all the blame. So that's part of it. I mean, I see him in that 13 team and some of the other teams. But, I mean, I think I'm going to say what. So you're getting – we're missing some things here a little bit, and that I need to go back. Teams are very important, but programs have to learn. We go back to the dynasty years. Didn't they have to learn to win a championship? Took them a long, took them still to 93 from 87. Then took them another six after that, and how to what? How to repeat it and keep them. They were up there in it. But all teams have, because what happens is your program has different issues in it. Just like the 14 team. I think there was a lot of clutter after the 13 season just because of who we were. And those kids had to learn to deal with it. Not that they didn't play hard on the field. And I think that's why you saw there were so many competitors, but their time got divided because of becoming celebrities, of becoming high profile, becoming every time you move, someone watched you. I'm not talking about bad, just, you know, that goes with winning national championships. And there's a learning curve to adapt to that. And in 15, not having a lot of experience and guys that come in, well, they win all the time, and not having entitlement. And saying, you know, because people say, well, man, it's getting tough. Well, somebody will take care of it instead of let me take care of it. You know what I'm saying? I think y'all have to, I think not only is our this team, because I think our program has to go through those changes to understand all the different cycles in which you go through as a program. And if you watch all the great programs, they all go through it. Even though Alabama's won two or three in a row, but if you remember, they lost three right after they won one. And actually thought that was their best team back in the day. I remember talking to Nick, I think it was 2010, they lost three games, and he said that team may have been the best team he had. You know what I'm saying? But after coming off the championship and all the clutter and all the, it's not just the team, it's the culture of the whole program absorbing the things that happen. But saying all that, I think we're getting through some of those things and understanding how to sort through being who we are, what we are, expectations. I think it's another growing part of our program, and I'm anxious to see where we go with it. I really am. I like what I've seen so far.
Yeah, you talk about,
I know that's a long answer for a short question, but. Tell me when we've done something in the last 4 years, there ain't been boom lights and cameras and about everything else. I think it's another growth. That stuff's been everywhere. Yes, sir, we have that stuff all the time. And it's now natural. Like I told the guy, kids don't even think about it. Our coaches. I asked them, I said, no, they didn't bother us. I mean, because it's kind of what we're evolved and I think ready for that stage of. And I'm proud of the program in which we've built. And I want people to see that, you know, it isn't just about having great players and rolling them on the field and what these guys actually go through, the amount of work they go through, the dedication, the commitment, the attention to detail, and what kind of great young men they are and great students they are on top of the plate. And I think it's time for people to see that. I'll tell them don't make mistakes. You got to play and trust. You got to trust going out to react. And here's the key. Why are you doing something? Why did you do it? If you can't tell me why you did it, when it was right or wrong, you'll never learn and progress. I mean, and good players don't repeat mistakes. When you have that situation again, and then as you watch them, evaluate, they keep repeating the same mistake, two things. One, we're not teaching it right. Two, he's not getting it, or we need to quit doing it, which is part of it too. But the big thing is, when you're evaluating young players at any level, I don't care what position it is, they can't answer why, then we're all in trouble. We got to reteach, and they got to relearn. And so even when they make a mistake, if they understand why they made it, then they can fix it. If they make a good play, even guys make plays, they can't tell you why they did it. We see there's a touchdown, everybody's happy. But if it's the right play for the wrong reason, guys, that's not good ball. You can't win like that. And that only survived to get you along for so long. It ended up blowing up on you. It's false hope. You know what I'm saying? And everything we do, in every position we evaluate, and ask them, and they do something, why did you do it? They have to tell me why. They got to understand. Because until they understand, they can never repeat it, and they can never fix it. That's going to be the key.
During the summer at your camp, you see DeAndre and Sean working, you talk together, joking around, and you like the camaraderie between
the two? Yeah. I mean, I think it's good, but again, I mean, you know, they help each other on the team because the team needs it, but they don't have to go sing Kumbaya and hold hands walking on the field either. I mean, that's their business, you know what I mean? So when you're on that field, I mean, you benefit each other, benefit the team, you know what I'm saying? I think they appreciate good competition. They know we're going to pick the best guys. I mean, they enjoy each other. They like each other.
How would DeAndre have been able to play when he's quite wide?
That's why I was encouraged in the spring. That's one of the things that encouraged me in the spring, even with the mistakes, even what he did, why he did it wrong, how he did it wrong, you know what I'm saying? It's really grown, and that's why I feel like he's legitimately in the competition to be the guy. Because he understands the why and the why not of the game.
I'm
sorry?
Johnson part of the quarterback.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, you know, I would say how he plays. I'm not, you know, whether he's been in the competition or not. I just want to see his consistency, his leadership, his decision making. Because at the end of the day, what quarterback get down to? Decision making and accuracy. You can put all that other junk up you want. Does he make good decisions? Whether it's a run check, a read on a pass, he can have the greatest arm in creation. Does he hit what the heck it throws at? You got to figure out what he can hit. So at the end of the day, that's what he gets down to. And I mean, we talk about leadership and toughness and all that, but if he's making good decisions and hitting what he's throwing at, using the ball and going down the field, we're doing some good things. You know what I'm saying? Then he's got to have leadership, toughness, competitiveness, and maturity. You know, learn, you know, his also ability to, you watch when he makes a mistake. Does one play become two bad plays or three bad plays, or does it move on? You know, that's one of the things I liked in the spring game. Had a great drive, one throw was a great decision, just threw it a hair short, come back next drive, played right down the field, okay? And made a mistake in 2 minutes before the half, come out second half, played very well. You're going to go through that. I mean, that's part of it, but how you get through it and how those things happen.
So I'm getting kind of
good. He's in good shape. Seems like he's running good, you know, moving good. I think just watch him out there and his route running and just, you know, where he's getting to and what's going on.
Keeping the battle with the quarterback with Marcus Lewis and Carson Fatten, what have you seen or heard from those two about
this kind of set? Don't compete and go at it. I mean, they're both very competitive and both very talented. So, I mean, I expect them to go out there and battle and, you know, hopefully they'll one up each other every day. I mean, we're getting better. We're fortunate to play both of them.
Coach.
I didn't watch very much of it. I was too busy in my own. You know what I mean? I really did. I mean, I saw a little bit of pieces. And from talking to them, I knew what it was about. I've seen those shows. I saw a little bit of some of the stuff. I didn't talk to Brian. He was very, very
respectful.
He thought they did a great job. I mean, the other guys got used to it. It wasn't, you know, a big distraction to them. And, you know, they did very well with it. And I just thought it was the right time, the right place for us to do it. You put mics. We, I mean, there's a lot of stuff we get mics for, do cameras. I mean, all the time. It just it's part of it. If you ain't got nothing to hide, we'll make a difference. Ain't trying to hide nothing. We open book, come see us.
Given how good you guys worked defensively last year.
It's consistency. And not worrying about last year. Learn from last year. Last year ain't going to help you. You got to do it again. That's the thing about ball. When you roll that ball out there, every time you roll it on the field, 0-0. What's your competitive? What did you learn? Is how you were successful last year? Some of the things you made mistakes on, and, you know, and continue to grow. I mean, you always want to grow. You always want to create more turnovers. You want to be better on third down. You want to be great in the red zone. You don't want to give up runs. You don't want to give up big plays. I mean, that's still the constant. What you can look at turnovers and big plays dictate games as much as anything. You got to be able to stop the run. You also still on third down, be a great red zone goal line team. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it gets down to. That's where our focus, that's where there'll be a lot of time in short yardage. There'll be a lot of time in a red zone. There'll be a lot of time in third down. I mean, we've always done that. And we're trying to create big plays. I mean, that's football today. And then being physical, running that daggone football.
Coach, talk about replacing the quarterback and what you've seen from Ricky so far. How are you looking at Ricky and
No, Ricky's a lot taller. but no, I mean, in the spring, it was a little bit we got in the spring. It was really the way he settled down from the first of spring to the end of spring and the way he kicked. And, you know, you started seeing the sound. I think it was very good for him to come in. And you know, anxious to see how this summer, all the time, did he get the time a little quicker? The thing he does is get the ball up very quickly, which is one of Roberto's strengths, on field goals and things like that. Seemed to be very accurate for the most part in spring. I'm watching in at the same time, watching Logan come in and speak with him. Right.
Dan, you there? Dan?
Fell asleep.
Dan, USA Today?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, ask a question, please.
Jimbo, about a year ago, Dalvin had an unusual circumstance with the team picture. I'm just wondering, he's always been a great player, great talent. I'm wondering how much growth you've seen from him personally, emotionally, maybe in the past year.
Dalvin, I mean, a lot, but Dalvin's a very quiet guy. Dalvin's usually very steady, very honest. You know, I don't see a lot of change in him as far as his demeanor to work, his demeanor to coaches, his honesty with us, talking with us, communicating with us. What I've seen a lot of growth in, he's more outgoing with his teammates. I think he's having a greater effect on them and everything he does, whether it's, you know, them going, you know, in classroom stuff, off the field stuff, work ethic and practice, off season. I think he's more vocal and in a much more comfortable role expressing himself that way. He was always a great leader by example, but I think he's being more outgoing in how he talks and communicates with them and understanding that that's a huge role for him, that the way they look up to him, him handling that, I think, is converted. But with coaches from us, we've always had tremendous confidence in him and trust in him, and his relationship with us has been very, he's always been very open with us.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
I didn't know he did that, but I mean, that was Kev was a great young man. And anytime you see a guy, I mean, it has talent and wants to play, and you dreamed your whole life of doing things, and all of a sudden there's something there that's out of your control, and your dream of what you've done your whole life is taken away. I mean, there was a lot of we spent a lot of time individually talking and, you know, first encourage him that, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, and making sure you fight and give every opportunity to do it, but making sure you get your education and understand being a good guy. You're still making him still part of Florida State. He was still part of our team. He was around. He was in meetings. He did all the things he had to do. I mean, what would you do? I look at it. People say, why do you do that? If that was one of my two kids, what would I do? At the end of the day, that's how I make 99.9% of my decisions. If that was one of my two sons, what would I do and what would I want done by his coach? It's called common sense. Or common courtesy, I guess, and it was the way I was raised, I mean, to try to do that. I mean, and try to communicate with them as much, and it's tough. I mean, sometimes, I mean, asking some of our sports psychologists or people to talk to them and how to deal with those things. I mean, there's, you know, I've dealt with many of those. Maybe what I said clicks, maybe it doesn't. Somebody else letting them communicate with them, spend time with them. Because at the end of the day, they didn't get hurt on purpose. You know, that's one of the things, too. So when he's hurt, you think players really get hurt on purpose? You think they don't want to play? You think they don't want to... And he's not very dependable. Sometimes you break your leg or your shoulder pops out. I mean, that's life, man. That don't make him a bad guy. I mean, he's trying and doing everything he can do. And now that frustrates me sometimes when I hear people talk about guys. He's always injury prone. Well, maybe he's giving everything he's got. It ain't his fault. I mean, you know, but at the end of the day, it's about being a good person. I mean, and a coach, one of your roles is to make sure those guys are successful. He's got his degree, graduated, you know, so. Very happy for him, and I'm sad that we don't have him, one, for his dreams, and two, for ours. I think he was a heck of a football player.
Coach, when John Franklin was here, you used him to duplicate Nick Marshall, the national championship game. Now, ironically, he's in a quarterback battle in Auburn. When did he bring
the
SEC football and the
entire? I don't know. That's up to them. I mean, I love John the best. He was a great guy here. He did a great job for us. But, I mean... Whether it's SEC football, ACC football, Big Ten football, Big 12 football, any conference football. I mean, he's a good player. He's a good athlete. So don't ask him to do the same things we asked him to do. He was very talented. He really was. And I wish him the best. He's a great kid. He's a great kid for us.
Chad, is there a chance to get out of the role, like a student assistant or anything?
Well, we got to discuss that. If he wants to be involved in that or whatever, yeah, we'd love to have him. We'd love to have him.
How far does Rick Litter come?
Well, we talked yesterday, and he told me he weighed 310 or 314, so he's 282, so about 32 pounds. At least he's happy when he sees me, but he gets to eat what he wants. a lot. I mean, he really has knowledge. He walked in, matter of fact, where did I see him at? Walked through the offices, or I came down here to do something. Oh, I was in the waiting room. He was there letting us, I was doing my work, and he was in there, man. He got up there close to me. How much... I remember him. He was lean and running. I mean, he's got thick, but he can bend. He's athletic. He's long. He's physical. Smart. Very, even though the things we haven't been able to teach him, like I say, when those gray areas come up, he kind of always, you know, 9 out of 10 times, he just falls in doing the right thing. There's a lot to that. You know what I'm saying? When the guys make those moves, but I think he has a really good chance to be a good player for us.
He could be primarily right tackle.
Yeah. Right tackle, probably right first. I mean, because you put a new guy over there, a new position. You start moving him around. I mean, you say, well, right tackle, right guard, well, you may, but still, there's little technique things and calls. And we're going to make sure we get one player before we get two.
Jim, last year you waited until 5 days before
I said before, there ain't no time frame. I don't know. Don't dictate that. Whenever I see one that's ready and one that's taking the lead or whatever, we'll see. You can't speed that process up, and you can't slow it down. The process is what it is. I wish there was a magical ball I could set and touch. I mean, at any position, you can't back there. Well, you're going to name this guy. You don't know. I mean, you really don't. You can't make those processes go any faster. You got to let their development happen.
You mentioned a couple of times, though, that you like the questions that were asked by the players to you in the offseason. You like that maturity, the experience. Does that inform you differently as you come into practice and how quickly you can coach them hard and get all your
practice ready? Yeah.
Any
installation, what you can do or what you can't do. You know what I mean? It gives you a set of rules or something you can kind of start to fly by and see, but there's no doubt of that. And how ready they are and how advanced and how you coach them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it has to be truly the base fundamental, which we all do, but you can get to those other things a lot more quickly. There's no doubt. No, he won't. Because at the end of the day, you still got to go back to those fundamentals. You still got to go back to those fundamentals. And, you know, I gave you the greatest example of that, Tom Brady. Brady says right now he's better fundamental than he ever was when he came in the league. And he's better now than he was 5 years ago. And he's 40 years old. Because he goes back and does the same thing over and over and over, and then refines them again, over and over and over. His body, what he eats, and that guy may be in better shape now when he came in the league. They talk about he's 40 years old. They play to his mid-40s, like you said, or whatever. And I use that for an example in that football, at the end of the day, is still blocking and tackling. But you know what? It's still fundamental. How you line up, your split, your alignment, where your hand is, where your eyes are, where your head is, it's still how you tackle, how the alignment, you know, alignment, assignment, technique. If you start getting away from fundamentals, you'll never be successful. You'll never be successful. And you got to establish those fundamentals early and make them over and over to well. But like I said, you don't practice till they do it right. You practice till they can't do it wrong. That's where those fundamentals got to come in.
You mentioned a lot last week that one is making you guys in terms of football over. So how do you balance that versus taking chances down the field and learning?
You take chances. I mean, we took chances all year. I mean, we got hit. We underthrew some balls. Sean was hurt. Couldn't get the ball out at times. I mean, there was a lot of factors that went into that. So, we don't. Just any of you come to miss in the safe zone, educate them. But you got to take chances. You got to get the ball down there. Sometimes, actually, throwing it farther you throw it down the field, the least amount of chances you take. Because it's a one-on-one situation most of the time. Sometimes the farther you throw it.
One more.
It's been fourth year for us. Back 12 or 13, we started to eliminate clutter. One less thing. You ain't got enough time. There's not enough time in the day to be a student, to do things right off the field, and to play college football. There ain't enough time in the day to do all that stuff. And if you spend all that hour you're in social media, you spend that studying your plays, or looking at your playbook, or doing something else, or working on schoolwork, or doing some of that stuff, how much better would you be? And what it's about is making a commitment to something. And to saying, I want to be the best. Because let me tell you something. These kids have a program. You know what kids can't do today? And people can't do it? They can't commit to anything. They're truly not committed. They'll do it, but are you truly committed to it? And learning a kid commitment is going to get him through life, and one of the greatest things he'll learn. And that's a commitment. You've given up. I mean, that's something they want to do as a team. We've always done as a team. And eliminate the club. You ain't got enough time to go answer things for an hour a day. You think you, to really go through that, that's what I want people to realize. They think, there ain't enough time, folks, to really be a good student, do the amount of studying you do the amount of ball, do the things you got to do, get the amount of rest you need, interact with your friends, your family, and to go do, I mean, there ain't enough time in the day. You can't, if you want to be a great player and a great athlete in college, you can't do the things everybody else does. It doesn't work that way. There ain't enough time in the day. And that's a total, and what do you get out of that anyway? Distraction and clutter. And 90% of it's opinion and argument. And 90% of it's hit just to get a rise or somebody get a hit on something. I ain't understood. Most people laughing back going to the bank.
All right. Thank you.
Is that it? How'd you decide when this is over with?
I thought you had a meeting.
Oh, no way. I'll get a start when I get there.